Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The verb here rendered stand is strictly to be rendered have stood. But being joined with a verb of the present tense, it's here rendered stand, a frequent Hebraism in Scripture, and it notes the continued patience and long-suffering of Christ. I have stood and still do stand, exercising wonderful patience towards obstinate sinners. The doctrine that we'll consider, that great and admirable is the patience of Christ in waiting on trifling and obstinate sinners. In this way of wisdom, Christ expresses himself. Proverbs 1:24, I've called and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Here you have not only Christ's earnest calls, but suitable gestures also to gain attention. The stretching out of the hand was a signal given to procure attention. And in this I'll show you what divine patience is, and what it is evidenced, why it is exercised towards sinners. First, the nature of divine patience is an ability in God not only to delay the execution of his wrath for a time towards some, but to delay it in order to gain the eternal salvation of others. It is an ability of power in God, not the effect of impotence or lack of opportunity. All sinners are continually within the reach of the arm of his justice, and he can strike when and where he will. In God, though, it is a glorious effect of power. Nahum 1:3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The greatness of his patience flows from the greatness of his power. So the apostle speaks, Romans 9:22, what? If God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted or made for destruction, he could exercise this almighty power on you and crush you by it as a moth is crushed. But he exercised it on himself in stopping the propensions of his own justice, which daily solicit him to cut you off. It is the power of God over his wrath, bridling and restraining it from day to day. And this patience is exercised towards such as perish in a temporary delay of their damnation. And though this is but a mere suspension of his wrath for a time, yet it is a glorious act of patience in him. You've been provoking him daily and hourly to cut you off and send you to your own place, and yet to be on this side of the everlasting burnings, this is wholly owing to the richness of his forbearance. God does not only exercise this power in a temporary suspension of his wrath against some who must feel it at last, but he delays the execution of his wrath in a design of mercy towards others, that they may never feel it. In this way, he bears with his own elect all the years of their lives in which they lay in a state of nature and went on in a course of rebellion against God. And this long-suffering of God towards them proves their salvation as you have it in 2 Peter 3:15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Christian, you may easily know its meaning without turning over many commentaries. You are now in Christ, safely escaped out of danger, the wrath to come. But you owe the salvation to the patience and long-suffering of God towards you. Remember how often you lay in those days on beds of sickness on the brink of the grave. What was it that saved you from eternal wrath but this admirable patience of Christ? This patience seems to be a branch springing out of his mercy and goodness. Only it differs from mercy in this, that man as miserable is the object of mercy, but man as criminal is the object of patience. A great evidence of the patience of God is in bearing with and forbearing us under the guilt of that special sin where we slight, neglect Jesus Christ. In this, God commends his love to men who are vilely undervalued as small things, and in this way you've sinned without number, yet his hand is stretched out. What patience is like the patience of Christ? The scripture speaking in a condescending language to the understanding of the creature represents God as wounded to the heart by the sins of men. Like in Ezekiel 6:9, I am broken with their whorish heart which hath departed from me. The riches of divine patience towards you are greatly heightened and aggravated by the quick dispatch the Lord has made of other sinners, while he has spared and passed over you. And this comparative consideration calls upon you in the apostle's language, Romans 11:22, behold the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Some sinners have been cut off in the beginning of their days, many in the very acts of sin, and those not greater than your sins. They are gone to their own place, and you are still left for a moment. a monument to the patience and forbearance of God. The exercise of his patience is a standing testimony of his merciful nature towards sinful man. This he showed forth in his patience towards Paul, a great example of his merciful nature, for pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him, 1 Timothy 1:16. The long-suffering of God is a special part of his manifestive glory. When Moses desired a sight of God's glory, Exodus 34:6, he proclaims his name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He would have poor sinners look towards him as an atonable deity, a God willing to be reconciled, a God that does not retain his anger forever. But if poor sinners will take hold of his strength and make peace with him, they may have peace. Isaiah 27:4. That is one reason of Christ waiting upon trifling sinners, to give proof of his gracious, merciful, and reconcilable nature towards the worst of sinners. The Lord exercises this admirable patience towards sinners with design by this to lead them to repentance. That is the direct aim and intention of it. The Lord desires and delights to see ingenuous relentings and brokenness of heart for sin. And there is nothing like his forbearance and patience for promoting such an evangelical repentance in this. Think to yourself, sinner, what will you answer in the great day when Christ will say, "Did I not stand at your door from day to day, from Sabbath to Sabbath, from year to year, calling, wooing, persuading you to be reconciled, and accept pardon and mercy in the proper season of them, and you would not?" Revelation 2:21, "I gave her space to repent, and she repented not." Well, the Lord gives you time now. A space for repentance, such a space as millions of souls gone out of time, they've gone into a miserable eternity, they've never had that. The Lord draws forth and exercises his admirable patience towards sinners for the continuation and propagation of the church. The church must be continued and propagated from age to age. And if God should be quick in cutting off sinners as soon as they ever provoke him, where would the elect of God rise in the world? There are thousands of God's elect in the loins of God's enemies. Many that will heartily embrace Christ must rise from such as reject him. Now, if God should cut off these in the beginning of their provocations, how should the church be continued? Consider that. And yet, to conclude this doctrine, the Lord exercises this long-suffering towards sinners in a gracious condescension to the prayers of his people. Were it not that the Lord had left a small remnant, we had been in Sodom. We had been like Gomorrah, Isaiah 1:9. You see, the prayers and intercessions of the saints are a screen between wicked men and the wrath of God for a time, as Job 22:30 shows. The world stands by the prayers of the saints. What multitudes of rebellious, Christ-despising sinners swarm this day in every part of the nation. Such as declare by their own open practice, they will not have Christ to reign over them. They condemn his offers. They despise his messengers. But blessed be God, yes, and let them bless him too, that there are others mourning to the Lord for them, beseeching his forbearance towards them. Little do the wicked know how much they are beholden to the prayers of the saints. These and such like reasons prevail with the Lord Jesus to stand in waiting, a waiting, patient posture at the doors of sinners, and how loath he is to give them up. So consider, if the Lord Jesus exercises such admirable patience towards sinners, then how much better are poor sinners to be in the hands of Christ than in the hands of the best and wisest men in the world? O sinner, it is better for you to fall into the hands of the meek and merciful Jesus than into the hands of the dearest friend you have on earth. No creature can bear what Christ bears, no patience like the patience of Christ. If you were to depend upon the patience of any creature in heaven and earth, you would have worn it out long ago. Sinner, the Lord finds you daily in your sins and yet lets you go. Yet beware that you do not try out his patience too far, lest vengeance overtake you at last and you pay by the justice of God. It follows that convinced and broken-hearted sinners do not need to be discouraged in going to Jesus Christ for mercy, seeing he exercises such wonderful patience towards obstinate and refusing sinners. This inference breathes pure gospel. It is the cordial to cheer the heart that is moving towards Christ with fear and trembling. It is a great artifice of the devil to daunt and discourage poor convinced sinners by telling them there is no hope of mercy for them, that they shall find the arms of mercy closed, the bowels of compassion shut up, that the time of mercy is now past, they come too late. Oh, how busy is Satan with such suggestions as these in many of your souls. But I come to tell you this day that these are but the artifices of the enemy. You are going to the fountain of mercy, patience, goodness, and long-suffering. Go on, and you shall find abundantly more than you expect. He will not cast off a soul that comes mourning and panting towards him. He's willing to subscribe the gospel articles of reconciliation. The long-suffering of Christ towards sinners instructs and teaches his ministers to imitate their Lord in a Christ-like patience and long-suffering. Christ is our pattern of patience. If he wait, much more may we. From the patience and long-suffering of Christ, we may learn the invaluable preciousness of souls and the high esteem Christ has for them. Though your souls are cheap in your own eyes, and you are contented to sell them for a trifle, for a little sensual pleasure and ease, some of you will hazard them for a penny. And yet certainly Jesus Christ has a high esteem of them. Otherwise he would never stand knocking with such importunity and waiting with such wonderful patience for their salvation. Christ knows their worth, though you don't. He accounts, and so should you, one of your souls more worth than the whole world. Matthew 16:26. The doctrine of Christ's patience puts a great and serious exhortation into my mouth this day to press one of the greatest duties on you that I ever press in the whole course of my ministry among you. And could I deliver this exhortation to you upon my knees with tears of blood mingled with my words, might that prevail, I would surely do it. My exhortation is to all that are in an unregenerate state that they presume not to try the patience of Christ any longer. If you have any regard to your eternal happiness, do not exercise his patience beyond this hour. Oh, that this hour might put an end to Christ's waiting and your danger. To this you have wearied men. But will you weary God also? Christ is called, but you have refused. He stretched out his hands, but you have not regarded. Your thoughts have been wandering after vanity, while the voice of the gospel has been sounding in your ears. Some of you have been drunkards and incapable to apprehend spiritual truths. Others of you sensual, given up to the pleasures of the world and abandoning all serious thoughts about the world to come. Some of you have been buried alive in the cares of the world, and others settled upon a dead formality in religion. And to this day Christ has called on you in vain. Now that which I exhort to you is this, that you do not venture to try the patience of Christ one day longer. If you have any regard to the everlasting happiness of your souls, do not come under the guilt and danger of one denial or delay more. If you ask me why may we not venture a little longer? Christ has borne all this while, and will he not bear a little longer? May we not take a little bit more pleasure in sin? May we not hazard one more sermon or one more Sabbath more and yet not perish? I answer no. If your souls are precious in your eyes, let there be no more denials, no more delays to Christ's suit to you. How patient and long-suffering Christ has been. Yet there will be an end to the day of his patience. The time will he will wait no longer when his spirit shall strive no more with you. There's a knock of Christ at the heart, which will be the last knock that he ever will give. And after that, no more knocks. A time when the master of the house will rise up and the door be shut. You have times to deal with the meek and patient Christ, but believe it, sinners, there is a day called the day of wrath, the wrath of the Lamb. That day is dreadful. Revelation 6:16. Where you find sinners crying to the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, if this wrath is once kindled, though but a little, blessed are they that trust in him, that have finished their agreement with him. The longer Christ has exercised his patience already towards you, the more terribly he will avenge its abuse in hell on you. Among all the aggravations of the torments of hell, none can be greater than the reflections of damned souls upon the abused patience and grace of Christ. Do not try the patience of Christ by any further delays. For you who are Christians, this doctrine of the patience of Christ exhorts all that have felt it to exercise a Christ-like patience towards others, as you found the benefit of divine patience yourselves. See that you exercise the meekness and long-suffering of Christians towards those that have wronged and injured you. We are poor, short-spirited creatures, quick to revenge injuries, but oh, had God been so to us, miserable would have been our condition. I think the patience of Christ towards you should melt your hearts into an ingenuous easiness to forgive others, especially considering that an unforgiving spirit is a dreadful sign of an unforgiving person. Do not be sluggish in your duty. Do not sin against such a light. Improve the time that remains in this world with double diligence. Let all us be ashamed and humbled for the baseness of our hearts and natures, which made Christ wait at the door so long before we opened to him. Oh, what wretched hearts we have. Let us all bless and admire the Lord Jesus for the continuation of his patience, not only for ourselves, but to that whole sinful nation in which we live.